Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the GHCL Limited Q3 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Meet Vora from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on GHCL's Q3 FY25 results conference call. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for giving us this opportunity to host them. We have with us today Mr. R. S. Jalan, Managing Director, Mr. Raman Chopra, CFO and Executive Director of Finance, Mr. Manul Jain, General Manager, Investor Relations and Finance. Before we begin this call, I would like to point out that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I shall now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Meet. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the GHCL earnings conference call for the third quarter ended 31st December 2024. Our results and the presentations are available on the stock exchange. Along with me, I have Raman, Executive Director and CFO, and Manul Jain in Finance and Investor Relations. Q3 has been a healthy operational performance as we delivered in a moderating external environment. Our business approach prioritizes the operational excellence across procurement, production, and marketing. We have reported better production volume and have seen better cost control outcomes following our focus on efficiency. This has transpired into healthy financial performance in Q3. Let me share a brief perspective on the environment. In India, demand growth for soda ash has been better than the global markets. Concurrently, we have seen higher volume of cheaper imports coming into India. We expect the domestic demand and pricing scenario to be at bottom, and demand should improve going forward due to the combination of following factors: MIP, Minimum Import Price on soda ash, which will provide price protection from unchecked cheaper import coming into India. The second, imposition of duty on import price of solar glass, boosting domestic production. And the third, growing push for renewable energy. Union Budget 25-26 has increased allocation towards solar power sector. This shall benefit the demand of soda ash, which is essential for manufacturing solar glass. In the external context, the Western economy faces suppressed demand for soda ash owing to the adverse consumption spend and poor business sentiments. China has witnessed strong demand growth of 10% in 2023 and 19% in 11 months of 2024. This has now started to moderate. As a result, prices have been subdued. Through all of this, we continue to focus on our strength in order to deliver optimized performance. We are confident that the GHCL is well positioned for the future, and as the industry and economic activity picks up, our performance will further improve. On the growth initiative, our strategic projects are progressing well. We have received environmental clearances for the greenfield project. Work on this and our new salt field in Gujarat is underway. These projects will take around 3 years of completion. Commissioning of both our vacuum salt and the initial bromine project is as per plan. In 2026, it will get completed, which will diversify our product mix. These programs have been planned to strengthen our ability to deliver a healthy performance in all operating environments and to drive predictable momentum. As always, we are committed to driving shareholders' value through strategic action and consistent execution of our plan. Thank you for your continued support and confidence in GHCL. I will now invite Raman to provide further details on our financial performance.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to our earnings call for the third quarter ended 31st December 2024. We have reported strong results on the back of higher utilization, operational excellence and cost control measures. This has resulted in better margins, higher profitability and a strong and healthy balance sheet. Revenue for the quarter came in at around 807 crore, which is more or less the same as compared to 813 crore in the corresponding quarter of the last year and 810 crore compared to Q2 of this year. The operating revenue were impacted by cheaper imports into India. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 259 crore as compared to 165 crore in Q3 of FY24 and 228 crore in Q2 of this year. For the quarter, EBITDA margin came in at 32% compared to 20.3% in Q3 of last year and 28.2% in Q2 of FY25. Our margins increased due to higher production, operational efficiency, reduction in input costs, resulting in overall lower costs. PAT from continuing operations increased from 168 crore rupees compared to 100 crore in corresponding quarter of last year and 155 crore in Q2 of this year. For 9-month period ended 31st December 2024, we generated 556 crore in cash profit after tax. Out of this, we have spent around 240 crores on capex, around 114 crores on dividend to the shareholders, around 82 crores towards the repayment of loans, while working capital released around 20 crore rupees. We are a debt-free company with cash and investments. With our cash and investments stood at around 1,036 crore rupees and a net cash surplus of 920 crore rupees as at the end of the quarter. With this, I conclude my comments and would now request the moderator to open the forum for questions and answers. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to restrict to 2 questions per participant and rejoin the question queue. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. The first question comes from the line of Aditya Ketan from Smith Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question was on to the soda ash side. As there is an imposition of MIP into the domestic soda ash market, sir, if you can help us understand, out of the total imports, how much imports like were below the MIP? And with this imposition, you think like the pricing itself will come up or the imports quantum also can go down?
Yes, Aditya, you have 2 questions. One is that whether the any import which was coming below the MIP price, number one. Number two, whether this will help to improve the price or that will improve the quantum of reduction into the import of the volume. See, at this point of a time, our understanding is that definitely this MIP will help to kind of a taper down the import volume. And this will be getting reflected in next maybe 1 or 2 months because some of the import which has already been kind of a contracted, some of the country from where these volumes are coming cheaper than MIP prices will definitely get kind of a reduced. I personally believe that improvement in the price may take little longer time, but the volume benefit should start accruing going forward maybe in a month or two.
And sir, how much proportion of the total imports were below the MIP earlier?
We don't have, Aditya, at this point of time, we don't have a data that whether the volume was below the MIP price, how much volume was there, because these prices were very volatile and therefore it is very difficult to predict that how much volume was there below the MIP price. The benefit which we will be getting because of this MIP, the price will get stabilized now.
Sure, sir. Sir, on to the numbers, if you look, so this quarter improvement in your gross margins and the EBITDA margins is largely led by the reduction in the raw material prices only. Any idea, sir, like which is the major raw material? Like I believe salt is the major raw material, and if there are others, like so which raw material has seen a big dip in this quarter?
See, I think there are two or three reasons for this improvement in the margin. One is that if you look at quarter to on quarters, means as compared to the last quarter to this quarter, one is the volume of production has gone up. That's number one. Second is not the price of the raw material. This is all our operational efficiency which we have been able to build. So it is not a question of price reduction in the raw material. It is primarily because of the efficiency of the operation and the various measures which we have taken in improving our cost efficiency.
Okay, but sir, the volume jump is not reflected in the top line. I believe top line is subdued only when we look on YOY and on quarter basis. But the raw materials definitely, like there is some change which has happened. Is it largely because the improvement in the product mix? You mean to say like the product mix towards sodium carbonate has improved, bicarbonate, and that is why it has improved?
No, Aditya. Like I said, if the volume of production goes up, obviously the efficiency and the other measures which we have taken for improvement into the efficiency has led to the reduction in the cost. However, the volume, as you rightly said, volume quarter to quarter small variation will be there and volume has not dropped also. So it's primarily because of the cost reduction measures the margin has improved.
Got it. Just one last question on to the bromine business. Sir, we are maintaining from the salt, from the recently acquired salt parcel, that would be completely used for captive. And what is the outlook on to the bromine business for the next 2 years?
See, I think at this point of the time, we have the process of the new land which has been allotted to us. The work has just started on the survey side, and it will take around 3 years of time to get completed that project. And this will primarily be used for our captive consumption. The number two, you said bromine outlook. See, bromine, at this point of a time, our bromine setup, which is a very small volume of approximately around 2,500 to 2,800 tons, which will start by September, October. We are in the process of marketing of those products, and obviously we will be selling to the mostly into the export market.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nasir Hussain from FinTrack Research Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, Nasir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I just have two questions. One is, could you help me with the EBITDA per ton for this quarter and the capacity utilization?
See, Nasir, broadly, we are almost 95-97% kind of a utilization. And EBITDA per ton, we don't have a specific number of EBITDA per ton. We have given the number on the basis of, on the percentage of EBITDA, see.
Okay. All right, sir. Another question is that since we are already maxing out our current capacity, when can we expect to further expansion, or is there any plan for debottlenecking?
Yes, the plans are already there. Like I said, the bromine project is there, the vacuum salt project is there. In terms of the soda ash also, we are trying to maximize the volume if it's possible. The team is working on that, and hopefully something will come out of that. And as soon as it comes out, we will report back to the shareholders.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir.
Namaskar, Saket ji.
Sir, in your presentation, you have alluded to the key drivers going ahead, growth drivers. If you could dwell more further into the same what are they and how are they going to improve the EBITDA in the long run? Presentation page number 12, you have spoken about vacuum salt, bromine project, the greenfield project and the raw salt production. If you could just spare a minute and explain the benefits which the company and the organization would derive going ahead in the near future.
See, Saket ji, as you rightly said, the vacuum salt and the bromine project, we have already explained in the earlier calls as well, that these are the two value drivers which are in the near future. Particularly, if you look at the vacuum salt, we are going to produce this vacuum salt from a waste energy. That means the conversion cost of that, where a lot of energy is required, will not be there. The margins are reasonably good in that. So far as the bromine project is concerned, that also work has started. That also on the existing location, which is kind of, I would say, is trying to take gold out of the existing processes. So that project also will add to the kind of a good EBITDA margin or addition to the total value. Of course, the greenfield and the raw salt production is a slightly longer term view. And that will happen in next 3 years of time. And all put together, definitely this will improve. The margin of overall business margin will improve. How much it will all depends on when it gets executed and how much kind of a market situation at the time. All this will get added. But definitely this will give you a better basket of the product and this will also add some additional margin to the business.
But for vacuum salt and the bromine project, just to conclude for this part, for vacuum salt, that will get commissioned for FY 25-26 itself, or both these projects will also will benefit in FY 26.
No, both the projects will get commissioned in 25-26. One will be approximately around July, and the second one approximately around September.
July 25 and September 25.
Yes.
Sir, and when you were mentioning about the efficiencies that have been factored into our numbers and the improved EBITDA, so firstly, sir, these are the permanent efficiencies that we have built into the system, or there's any one-off because we see our other income also contributing significantly on a Q-on-Q basis, it has gone up from 17 to 29 crore. So this is, I think, the operation, yeah.
Yeah, you are right on that. Let me explain 2 points. One, like I said, the cost initiatives, a lot of work has been done. And you know that last couple of years, the way the management has worked on the cost efficiencies, that is definitely giving us a benefit on the overall our margins. Okay. And that journey or the sustainability of those cost initiatives will be permanent in nature. In terms of the other income, as you rightly said, other income has two components. One is the office in Mumbai we had that we have sold that has added to a 1% on the EBITDA margin. So that's a one time. The second is your treasury income, and that is also added. Treasury income will be more like a kind of a it will continue for the time being till the new greenfield project comes in. So maybe you can say 1% of the other income, which is a one time, can be lower on this. But other cost initiatives will continue. How much that will get translated into the margin and how the market dynamics will be there in the coming quarters, that we have to watch out. You know the volatility in the market overall. But our execution and our initiative on the efficiencies will continue.
Correct. Just to conclude, sir, for the Mumbai office, what have been, how much have we realized and what have been the gain?
There was a small office, which I think around 8 to 9 crore kind of a number. We have got benefit out of that, right, Saman?
Right.
Approximately around.
8 crore we have realized out of the sale.
No, 8 crore is the benefit we got.
It's the gain.
A profit
it's
is gain. 8 crore. Okay.
Right.
Okay, sir, and although it is evident that the cost efficiencies for which we are working perpetually have started reaping benefit, but when we look at the power and fuel water expenses line item, there is fluctuations in the same, sir. If our volumes have remained flat Q on Q, what explains this increase?
Sorry, Saket ji. number has to be looked at from the production perspective. Production in this quarter has gone up.
Okay. So that is, we are carrying inventory currently then, sir, because the volume, the inventory side has gone up. That is understanding is correct?
Yes.
Okay, sir. And lastly, sir,
sorry to interrupt you. Please rejoin.
I will join with you again. Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sangeeta from Cogito. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. So what I wanted to understand is that, our Greenfield Soda Ash project will, I think, commission in about 5 to 6 years, right? Is that correct?
No, it's 3 years.
3 years, okay. And raw salt will be in 3 years also?
Yes.
Okay. So for the next 3 years, therefore, our volume growth drivers are going to be any debottlenecking that we do in our existing capacity plus the vacuum salt and the bromine projects, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, sir, is there any indication you could give as to how much, let's leave the debottlenecking aside because that may be difficult to predict immediately, but how much is the vacuum salt and bromine likely to add to our EBITDA, were to be commissioned fully?
See, our understanding at this point of a time is that the bromine will give us approximately around 40% to 50% EBITDA margin in the revenue of the bromine. Okay, and the revenue will be in the range of around 60 crore, broadly I'm just giving 50 to 60 crore kind of a number.
50 to 60 crore per annum or per quarter?
No, per annum. It's a small volume, 2,800 tons. We are talking about only for this existing 2,800 tons, but we are planning to produce in the current year, 25-26. Vacuum salt will give approximately around 100-120 crore once the fully operational operations are being established, around 100-120 crore. And the EBITDA will be in the range of around 30 to 40% on this volume.
30 to 40%. Okay. So that means roughly we're looking at, say, maybe 35 to 40 crores coming in from the vacuum salt project and maybe about 20, 25 crores coming in from the bromine project.
I think so, yes, broadly.
Okay. So that means our growth in our profits is really going to be dependent on the price increases that happen in the soda ash, right? Largely.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. And so compared to where we were a year ago and 2 years ago, if our prices of soda ash are, say, 100 today, what was the price a year ago and what was it about 2 years ago?
See, Sangeeta, if I can say in terms of the soda ash, since you are talking about a little bit of a medium term, let me give you some perspective of how do we look at this business and how the margin has been over a period of last many years.
Yeah.
First and foremost, EBITDA per ton has been growing every year by year, except maybe in the last 1 or 2 years, it's because of the volatility in 2022-23.
Yeah.
Because of that abnormal situation, the EBITDA percentage or the EBITDA percent was significantly higher.
Yeah.
If you look at FY22 versus FY24, we are significantly higher in terms of the absolute EBITDA and even in terms of the percentage of EBITDA also. In FY22, our EBITDA was approximately around 740 crore. Roughly, I'm just giving you the number. In FY24, it was 900 crores. Okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, that way, and if you look at FY21, it was 400, roughly around, I'm giving again number, roughly around 500 crores. So, 500 crores to 750 crore and then to 900 crores. That way the number, if I remove this FY23, which was an abnormal period, this is the way the number has gone.
Right.
I hope I'm clear on this.
Yeah. So, sir, here there was also some element of volume growth that you would have seen, right, in this period. My question is that, you know, now we are at about 90-95% capacity utilization. So whatever volume growth we get from here cannot be very large, right? Because we're going to try to get back some brownfield expansion or efficiencies, etc. So it's likely to be, I'm just guessing, maybe 2-4% or under 5%. So our key driver, and given the fact that we have seen pricing pressure on the soda ash also, would it be fair to say that our main driver will now be a recovery in soda ash prices?
Ma'am, there will be two possibilities, and there are two points where the recovery will happen. One, as you rightly said, recovery in the pricing of the soda ash, which likely should happen because the overall globally, the way the pricing at this point of a time is there, will not be a long-term sustainable prices. That's number one. But the second, which is again very important, which is in our hand, which we have been driving for over a period of time, like you have seen in this quarter also, there was a kind of a significant cost optimization.
Right.
And that will be the another area of kind of expanding your margin per ton or the percentage of margin.
Right. No, that I appreciate, and I think congratulations to your team that you've been doing this consistently year after year. So I do understand that. What I was trying to understand was that, see, from an external environment point of view, if, say, the volumes recover hugely in soda ash, we may not be able to participate completely because we are kind of maxed out on our capacity, right? So what benefits us from any improvement in the external environment is really the pricing.
Yes, very right.
Okay. And when prices go up, does that also lead to a commensurate increase in the raw material prices?
No, these are not the two interrelated things. Cost has a different, equation, and the pricing of soda has a different equation.
Right. Okay.
So if I say two things, like one of the understanding what we have is that today the Chinese soda ash prices are below the cost of production of China.
Right.
So this is a kind of an understanding that the recovery in the soda ash prices should happen. And the benefit to us will definitely come, of course, in terms of the volume it will not come, but in the overall margin definitely this will happen.
Right. And so what about the imports from Turkey and to remain sort of subdued, right? And that's where a lot of the imports were also happening. So how do you see the scenario from those markets?
See, our understanding at this point of a time is that at this point of time, the imports are happening in a major way. And as I mentioned in my opening remark, this MIP definitely will put a kind of a roadblock on the larger volume. Of course, the volume will coming in. But overall, if the global soda ash prices, because China is a kind of a 40-45% of the volume, right? So China has a kind of some recovery into the pricing, definitely that will have an impact on the global pricing, and that will help us.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Gaurav from Capital Farming Consultants. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity. I hope my voice is audible.
Yes, Gaurav, we can hear you loud and clear.
Thanks a lot for confirmation. So just building on the last question that ma'am was asking, so if we say that the current ongoing prices in the Chinese market is far below the cost of production, and as a supplier, as a manufacturer, you also feel that the ongoing prices are not sustainable in the medium to long term. So just a hypothetical question, just to get a sense of the expectation. And as a producer, what do you think that the sustainable prices could be vis-a-vis the ongoing prices? That is my first question, if you can help.
See, Gaurav, I don't think I'll be able to answer these questions in a rightful manner, because the hypothetical question is not the, I would be restrained to kind of answer that question. But like I said, hopefully the things should start recovering, because of the overall one scenario in India, as I mentioned, the demand growth likely in 25-26 should be significantly higher because of the your solar glass consumption will increase. So overall demand in India will should increase significantly. And even in the globally, since the soda ash are being sold at this point of a time below the cost in China, that should also lead to kind of a some increase in the pricing. But how much, I don't think we will be in a position to answer that.
No worries. Thanks a lot. So my second question is, since we most of our production is being sold in domestic market only, right? And now MIP in place, right? So based on your study, how much more market share we can gain? Because now since you are saying that MIP being in place, probability of imports in our country would go down, right? And there will be a there might be an opportunity that we might gain the market share. So what is our current market share, and to what level it can go up?
Gaurav, as you rightly said, our volumes are not going to go up, and therefore the market share cannot increase. Market share will remain almost same.
Okay. So volume-wise, you are saying, or market share-wise, due to this MIP, no much benefit is expected to us. Only benefit that we can expect is that increase in price, right?
Right.
That's great. Last question from my side. Since we have expanded our capacity of sodium bicarbonate from 60,000 ton per annum to 120,000 ton per annum in last financial year, so in current financial year reported 9 months numbers, what would be the revenue contribution from sodium bicarbonate capacity in terms of percentage?
Like you rightly said, our numbers will be likely to be around 100,000 this year in terms of the volume.
In terms of last year, percentage of revenue share?
I don't have a ready number right
around
now.
Around 1/10.
1/10?
Yeah, around 9 to 10%.
9 to 10%.
9 to 10%. Okay. Just to understand, in the emerging applications, we have also mentioned that the battery manufacturing for electrical vehicles. But we have seen that most of the electrical vehicle batteries are around the lithium-ion technology only, right? So any major development or research that is happening, or which gives us a promising maybe somewhere down the line, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year down the line, that which can boost consumption of soda ash in a significant manner, and any such things you have heard about and you would like to share with the investors and analysts on this call?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the line of the management. Please stay connected while I rejoin the management. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the management reconnected. Gaurav, if you can please ask your question once again. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot. Sir, I was asking, like, in emerging applications, we have mentioned that soda ash is also being used in battery manufacturing for electrical vehicles. But most of the batteries used in electrical vehicles, specifically in India, are around lithium-ion technology. So any major development or research that you have heard about which can boost significant consumption of soda ash in electric vehicle batteries in maybe 1 year, 2 years, 3 years down the line?
See, got two things I would like to comment on this. One, this lithium iron major consumption will be globally. India, at this point of the time, we don't see any major thing. But however, this time in the government of India, in the budget, they did announce some incentive for the lithium iron battery. How that will pan out, we have to see that. But if the lithium iron battery consumption globally improves significantly, that will also help in a better what you call demand supply balance globally, and that will have an ultimately impact on the benefit to the Indian producer as well.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Janam Gelani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. Sorry, I joined the call a bit late, so pardon me if my questions are repetitive. So what was the volume sold during this quarter in terms of growth?
See, we normally don't give the number of the volume sold. We only give the revenue. And
yeah, but sir, in terms of the year-on-year, if you look at the our revenue per se, which we reported
almost
flat.
Hello. Yeah, I'm saying this number. These numbers are almost flat. That's the point I'm trying to say. The revenue numbers are flat.
Yeah, so numbers are flat in terms of quarter on quarter. So, or probably if you look on the year on year also, we are down by 27-30 odd crores. So, can you help us in understand whether this, decline in the revenue by 30 odd crores is largely due to volume or it was because bit of a realization?
Primarily because of realization. Primarily in the realization.
So volume has largely remained flat.
Yes.
Now with the MIP in place and the new segment of the soda as consumable coming up in place, how do you see a volume growth going ahead from the current level?
So obviously in this quarter some improvements should happen, but yet to be kind of the impact of this MIP will take few, maybe 1 or 2 months, and after that definitely some improvements will happen in the volume. However, we have a limited volume, so therefore there cannot be a very significant improvement in the volume.
But sir, with this back to 29-30% margin, is this margin a sustainable margin for us now, or we can see some pressure here as well?
See, depending upon the volatility, you know the volatility in the market. Our efforts are there on the what you call cost optimization that we are doing very nicely, and that journey will continue. Marginal here and there, margin can happen on a quarter-to-quarter basis, but in a longer term, if you look at, definitely this margin should improve.
And sir, any update on the greenfield CapEx as to when do we expect it to commence operations?
We have started initial work on the CapEx after the environmental clearance has been received, and the things will progress now.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sanjana from FWC. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, tentatively, our completion date for the Greenfield project is somewhere around Feb or March of 2028. Can you give us a CAPEX schedule till then? Like, what will be our annual CAPEX number?
Sanjana, at this point of time, I will not have the ready answer on this. But in the overall, in 3 years of time, the approximately the number will be in, and that will be largely in the 26-27 and 27-28, the major portion. I would say 80% of the volume will be, the number will be coming from that. Right, Kamal?
Yeah, absolutely.
80% will be coming from that.
That number.
The number in the 25-26 will be in the range of around 300 crores.
Okay, understood. So one more question I had on the MIP. Is the government exploring an extension for this for the MIP, considering that it was announced for such a short period of time?
See, generally what happens, they announce for a period of time and then you have to apply for another extension. Generally you get that extension.
Okay, so when do we have to apply for this extension?
After maybe 2-3 months, because this period is up to June. So we have to apply maybe in April, May.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I wanted to understand what percentage of limestone and salt are we backward integrated for the soda ash specifically as of now. What percentage is backward integrated and what percentage do we procure from outside?
See, if you look at the salt, it is around 30% we are backward integrated, and once this green, the new land which has been allotted, that number will significantly go up. In terms of the limestone, I would say it is probably around maybe 20%, approximately around 20-25%.
Okay, and when does this salt capacity start? I mean, when would the new salt capacity start, and how much percentage of our older capacity, facility of soda as that is 12 lakh ton would be catered to from the new capacity?
As per at this point of a time, our understanding is that approximately around another around 30-35% of the current capacity will get freed up from the new salt field, and the balance will go to the new soda ash plant, which we are putting into the salt in the Kutch area.
Okay. And for limestone, do we have a long-term contract to procure it, or is it on a how is it? I mean, the arrangement with the supplier.
It generally happen on a year-to-year basis.
Okay. Okay, sir. Fine, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the next question from the line of Kushwant Paha from KPAC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so I have a couple of questions. The first is around cost optimization. I see margin improvements quarter on quarter happening because of cost optimization, and that's good to see. Just wanted to understand that if I keep the price fluctuation aside, purely from a cost optimization perspective, do you think we'll continue to see benefits flowing through in the quarters ahead, or are we largely there in terms of the journey where we wanted to reach? So that's my first question. Just some trajectory on what more on cost optimization we can see over the next 2 to 3 to 4 quarters.
See, first and foremost, Kushwant, giving a number will be very difficult because this is a journey.
I'm not asking exact numbers, but I'm saying generally, are we there in terms of whatever the management aspiration was? Are we there largely, or we are midway through? Just some perspective.
No, Kushwant, our inspiration changes every year. Once we achieve one milestone, we go to the another milestone, and we keep on shifting our goalpost on the higher side, and this journey will continue. And you must have seen in last many quarters that that has been delivered by the management, and that is where our strength is. And that strength we are leveraging to the maximum extent, and we'll continue to have that.
Understood. So you say that, you know, current level of margins, keeping the price fluctuations aside, are maintainable.
It should be.
All right. My second question is you know, I remember the last conference call you had mentioned that, you know, as the expansionary monetary policy cycle starts, there should be, you know, some improvement in you know, the prices that we should see. Now, I'm not asking for any quantums. I don't want any specific guidance there. But in your experience, you know, we have seen U.S. embark on the, you know, expansionary monetary policy cycle. There have been rate cuts. So in your opinion, typically how much lag is there before we start seeing some improvements in pricing? And again, I don't want any numbers. I'm just saying in terms of timelines, you know, what is your thought process broadly?
No, Kushwant, as you know, that the way the overall the world is such a volatile scenario at this point of time, and you have seen in a couple of policy decisions which has happened in the recent past after the leadership change into the U.S., how that will shape up into the global market, it is very, very kind of unpredictable at this point of a time. But as I said, logically it looks to be that once the demand scenario improves overall and since the ultimately the business makes sense only when you have a margin or you have a margin or your prices are not lower than prices are lower than the cost. Like in China, I said that the people are selling at this point of a time lower than the cost. So this leads to kind of a belief that some improvement will happen. How much it will happen and when it will happen, it is very difficult at this point of a time to kind of a guess on that.
Understood. Understood. If I can just ask one more question, you know, in terms of our cost of production vis-a-vis China, how much, you know, purely from a cost of production perspective, how much does it vary in India vis-a-vis China? I mean, do they have a significant advantage over us in terms of the cost of production?
Kushwant, I'd like to put the two kinds of a process of production. One is the natural soda ash. Natural soda ash are, in terms of the cost of production, they are cheaper. Whereas the synthetic soda ash in China particularly, there are two processes. One is the Hao process and one is the Solvay process. Hao process are costlier than the Solvay process at this point of time because there's pricing of the ammonium chloride, which is a fertilizer, is much below, and therefore their net soda ash cost is much higher. We, as India, vis-a-vis China, our costs are very significantly competitive in terms of China. That means we are not, they don't have any major advantage in terms of their cost of production in the Solvay process.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, once again for the opportunity. As mentioned in our presentation also and earlier alluded also that the global market for soda ash grows at a rate of 2.5 to 3%. That is generating an incremental demand of 2 million metric ton per year. So, sir, currently, what kind of global capacity addition globally are we looking into the various geographies who are the major players?
Saketji, the new global capacity has almost came in. Like you know, the Mongolia plant has came in China. Another soda ash plant has also come in. We are not seeing a very significant amount of new investment coming in next near future. Of course, in the longer term, some of the plant has been announced in the U.S. And hopefully, I think that will kind of lead to some new expansion. But that will take few years of time. So it is not likely to happen in 1 or 2 years.
Okay. And sir, your presentation also speaks about the capacities getting reorganized in Europe. So there will be some capacity that will be off the table because of the high cost. So it will be a balanced market going ahead, or maybe a deficit market also, sir. If the demand outlook was
Let's hope, Saketji, that happens.
Okay. And sir, as you mentioned, that MIP part being imposed on soda ash, there is also some duty protection for solar glasses, I think so. So that is also going to be some anti-dumping duty for textured, tempered, coated and uncoated glasses from China and Vietnam was also imposed in the month of December for another 6 months.
So Saketji, there are two developments that happened on this class. As you rightly said, there is anti-dumping duty on China and Vietnam, and that is very significantly higher, and that will definitely give a much better leeway to the solar producers in India. And that's the reason we see a good amount of growth in the 25-26. And in terms of the earlier, there was no basic duty was removed on the import of solar glass that has been reimposed a few months back, and that will also, the overall solar glass environment in India has been significantly improved, and that will definitely improve the soda ash consumption going forward.
Okay. So just to conclude on the point of solar glass production, you earlier also alluded in 2024 also that a lot of capacity are in the anvil from the large corporate who are trying to set up big solar lines in the country. So where are we, sir, in terms of this incremental demand that was envisaged from them? Where are we in midst of their capacity coming up, thereby boosting the demand and then the ecosystem getting a boost in terms of pricing?
These are happening as per the plan, Saketji, and hopefully you will see that the benefit of that will be coming in the next year.
Okay. And lastly, sir, this 350 crore capex for the salt field work, so if you could just explain how is this is because of the, this is for the raw material security that you alluded earlier to, and also for the bromine project, or what is the significance of this 350 crore capex for the salt week, and when are we going to spend this money, sir?
Sakaji, this is for the new salt field which we have been allotted. This amount is only for that, and that will get spent over the period of next 3 years.
And that will be taken to our requirement for salt or for the money? This is pertaining to which project, sir? The new one or the existing soda ash facility?
No, this salt will be consumed for both the locations.
Thank you, sir, once again for elaborating and answering to our questions, sir. So just to conclude, sir, the EBITDA jump which we have seen Q1Q, even excluding the other income impact, these numbers on the consistent environment and the factors that contributed to it are looking sustainable going ahead, and quarter four being a very strong quarter in terms of demand and the seasonally also a good quarter, a reasonable understanding can that the investors can take into account that these EBITDA numbers are sustainable for at least for the near future.
Sakaji, I very clearly articulated this, that we are working towards the cost optimization or on the efficiency improvement. In terms of the volatility, in this current market scenario, it will be very difficult to predict what is the sustainable margin will be there in the going forward. And in the longer term, I have already said the things are looking better.
Correct, sir. Thank you, and all the best to the team, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question, and we conclude the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much to all the shareholders and the participants into this call. We draw a lot of strength from our investors, and our journey towards the cost optimization will continue, and we will ensure that our executions are being done in appropriate way, and create a value for our shareholders. That's the endeavor of the management, and we will try and deliver on this day in, day out. Thank you very much for participation.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.